everybody, and welcome to this week's Pitching In NPL show. Coming up on this week's show, later we're going to be talking about a brand new club magazine from Atherton Coles. We're going to be joined by the manager, Clitheroe, David Lynch, about his new contract extension at the Lancashire side. But before that, we're going to Yorkshire and to Pontefract Coles. They've announced in recent days that former assistant manager Craig Rouse has returned to the club to become the brand new manager. And for more on this, we shall be joined now by the welcome return of the new manager at Pontefract Coles. It's Craig Rouse. Well, Craig, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on your appointment as manager. How do you feel?
Yeah, really good. An opportunity that came about over the course of last weekend, an approach came to me and to Worksop from Pontefract, and had a little bit of a thinking time over the weekend. It was a bit of a whirlwind weekend, but yeah, really, really good to be appointed, and can't wait to get started.
I mean, I'm going to ask, you know, was it a bit of a no-brainer and stuff like that? But I know the management team at Worksop, you and Craig, have worked together for years now. So, I mean, it must have been a difficult decision, even if it's, you know, going back home to Pontefract Coles.
Yeah, as you've just said, we had almost 5 years together as a management team. So, yeah, it was a difficult decision. And obviously, we had a lot of success together. So, to sort of break out of that circle, if you wish, is we're obviously a difficult decision, but Pontefract's always been a good club to me, and I had my best playing days there, and obviously best days in management there. So yeah, a little bit of a no-brainer in the end, but yeah, obviously it was a difficult decision to make.
Tell us a bit more about Pontefract Coles, because former player, numerous promotions as part of the coaching staff. How eager are you to hit the ground running and carry on that momentum that you had as a member of the coaching staff and as a player?
Yeah, I had good times there as a player, won promotions as a player, and obviously same in the management staff. So to carry on that success would be a good achievement, and it's something that we want to do. I think when you look at the top of this Northwest Division, there seems to be the same names cropping around in obviously Workington, Ramsbottom, Marine, and one or two more sides have sort of forced away in there a little bit this season, but they're consistently good, and obviously the previous season that were null and void, we were in the mix as well, so we'd like to get our names back amongst them if possible, and hopefully we can kick the club on and try and bring some success.
And unfortunately, though, you've come in and it's pretty much the same as when you took over at Worksop. We've still got this pandemic, this awful disease that's having such an effect on every walk of life, but, you know, football included in that. And, I mean, how challenging is that, all that side of it?
Really challenging, really, because you just want to get started. And without having a final decision, I mean, people are questioning, obviously, why we're making signings and one thing and another, but without having a final decision, we have to sort of plan as though we're going to continue until we're told otherwise. So I have to get bodies in that, one, I can trust, and two, that are up for a fight, because no disrespect to what's gone on previously, but if the season restarted in 4 weeks' time or in 6 weeks' time, we're in a relegation battle. We have to be realistic. So we have to get people in who can sort of pull us out of that. So I have to get the signings in ready and make sure whenever we restart, whether that's in 6 weeks' time or in 6 months' time, we're ready to hit the ground running.
And how is that marketplace, if I could call it that, at the moment, given you know, the uncertainty that's surrounding non-league football? I mean, it was always apparent at step 3 and 4 during this period, but now it's affecting step 2 and step 1 as well. I'm imagining it's very chaotic.
Yeah, and I mean, you speak to people and football is really the last thing on the minds. Obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic. No one's at training, no one's playing, and really everything else is taking priority, and rightly so. So it is tough, and to try and get players on the phone is tough. But the signings that we've made are players who've been attached to the club in previous times and who've had success at the club. So really, they were chomping at the bit to come back. And obviously, those sort of signings are what we need. They're familiar with the place, and like I said, the marketplace is tough, but we have to sort of fight his way through there for a little while until, obviously, we have a final decision, whether that's null and void or whether it's a different scenario, we play out a different scenario, reduce games or whatever it is. Mm. We just have to be ready for every scenario and make sure, like I say, that we're ready to start.
Yeah, obviously, it depends on what that scenario is, how you answer my next question, really. But with regards to, you know, the squad you're shaping and that kind of thing, I saw Pontefract Coles in late September in the FA Cup when they took on FC United. And the start to the second half that Pontefract Coles had was very impressive and really dug deep. And I suppose it's just about installing confidence and getting the right blend in, having fighters, essentially, as well as those players who can open things up like they did in that second half at Broadhurst Park.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you look at the players, and obviously we've spoken to all players already. We've made our way through all the current squad that are at the club, and we wish to retain some of them players, and we want some of them to stay at the club. So, yeah, it's good to hear things like that. There's obviously positives from the season and one thing or another. And I said it in a previous interview, I have every sympathy with the previous management team, because it's difficult for anyone at the moment. Obviously, not being able to sort of socialise together and get your players in the bar together so they can get to know each other. And they almost had to overhaul a full club in the summer. So I have every sympathy with the previous sort of regime, but we have to just prepare as we are. And some of the players will be departing. That's just the nature of football. And I wanted to be honest with them from the start and just make sure I was upfront and honest. And the tough phone calls to make, but the players were good and they appreciated what we're saying. And obviously, I wish them every success moving forward. And obviously, like I said, there's a list of players that we'd like to retain, and we can't wait to start working with them.
Oh, good stuff. And finally then, Craig, we don't know when we're going to be back, but how much are you looking forward to not just that first game as manager, but also that first training session whenever it happens? How much are you looking forward to getting stuck in?
Yeah, like I say, you touched on it before, it almost feels like home, so I can't wait to get back down there and can't wait to start preparing for the season, whether that's 6 weeks, 6 months or 3 months or whenever it's safe to do so. As soon as it's safe and we're given the nod, I want to get the players in and get them training straight away. I know it's obviously going to be a long summer and a long off-season, but I think it's good for the players' mental health and one thing or another to just get them in and around each other and obviously get back to some sort of normality. So as soon as we can do that, then we'll try and, whether it's sooner rather than later, try and play a few friendlies, put a few training sessions together and get sort of some normality back to the club. Hopefully things return to normal sooner rather than later and we can move forward.
New Pontefract Coles manager Craig Rouse there joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And next up on this week's show, let's head from the Yorkshire side of the Pennines now to the Lancashire side. And some news last week that David Lynch, manager at Clitheroe, has signed a brand new 3.5-year deal with the club. And for more on this, we should be joined now by the welcome return to the show of the Clitheroe manager. It's David Lynch. Well, David, a big thank you for joining us and congratulations on the contract extension. How do you feel?
Oh, yeah, no, obviously delighted. I think the club were just keen to get some stability, because if you look at Clitheroe Football Club before Phil Brown came in last season, there has been a lot of a high turnover of managers and players. So what we're keen to do is send that message out to the supporters that we're, myself and Carl Garner, Director of Football, and the staff are here for the long term. And we want to keep that consistency of players. We want a team where the fans can relate to it. And it's, you know, there has, in non-league, it's difficult to get towards that, but we want the nucleus of the young players that we've got around it and the senior players that have been around it to stay. And we don't want players looking to move on. But the most important thing of that is the manager, and you know the club. We're I'm just delighted that they saw me as the right person to take it forward. I think we've shown real progress this season off the back of an excellent job that Phil Brown did last season.
Yes, absolutely. And I was going to say, I mean, it's that. When I speak to managers about this time, it's all the uncertainty and I suppose that's why it's a bit of a masterstroke news, you know, making this announcement, because it sends a message out to the squad, but also to some players that you might have your eye on in these difficult times.
100%. Obviously, it's uncertain times for everybody, players and management and staff. But you know, one thing we can't do as a football club is stand still. We've got a plan based on best case scenario that we can finish the season, and worst case scenario that we're planning towards next season. So as I said, we've got a clear plan. You know, we want to get the average age of the squad down, and obviously we've proven that with the four lads that we've got secured on contracts for next season in Terry Cummings, Jake Connolly, Keegan Adams and Cole Lonsdale, who were 18, 19, 20 and 23 respectively. So you can see what we're trying to do as a football club. We're trying to build our squad around the best young players within the area. But as I said, the key part of that, we couldn't really start getting the ball rolling with that until, you know, I made a decision that, you know, I was happy to stay at the club 100% as player manager, because that is my role. Obviously, I still want to get towards contributing a little bit on the playing side as well. But yeah, just delighted that the club see me as the right man to take it forward, and you know we can start putting real plans in place.
Because at this stage it's all up in the air, and everyone knows why. But you've been keeping relatively busy. You know, you mentioned the player side there. You went off to Marine, didn't you, on a loan? I mean, we had Neil Young on the show before that game, and I said it was a bit of a masterstroke, in all fairness, because you know, a quality player like yourself on the bench like that. I mean, how did all that come about?
Well, obviously, I've known Neil a long time. He's been massive in my career. He's a man that I've got an awful lot of respect for. And to be honest, he just had a conversation with Carl Garner, who he speaks to quite a bit, who's one of the obviously director of football at our club, and just asked, I think they were just talking between each other. He asked him if he needed anything. We were prepared to help them if they needed anything. And then Youngie must have said that he were looking for a midfielder. And the fact that I was on the bench at Warrington Rounds and I wasn't cup tied, he knows me, he knows I'm fit. I look after myself, and you know, he's managed me before, he knows the type of lad I am. So to be honest, I was completely took back that he'd even consider me. But when I spoke to Neil and realised it was just, you know, as precaution, just in case, you know, because all the squad had to be COVID tested, and say if you lost four players, four of which were midfielders, you know, he wouldn't have had a team. So the chance to go and learn off him, a man of his experience and, you know, his professionalism, it was invaluable for me. So it was, like I said, it was a great opportunity, not only from a playing perspective, but also from a young manager who's learned his trade, to go and learn off somebody like Neil Young. And to be honest, the biggest thing I took from it is that I've told a lot of our young players from the start that regardless of whether you like me or you don't like my style, one thing I would say is never down tools for a manager. I've had it before where you don't particularly get on with your managers or you don't think he's, you know, you're his cup of tea. But one thing I've never done is never let my attitude go downhill. I've always trained right, because you just never know what opportunities will arise off a manager that you've played for previously. So yeah, so it was just a great learning experience. I've took a lot from it. I'm using this period now to look at the type of things that Youngie does and see if I can put my own stamp on them and implement things where I perhaps think I've gone wrong this season. So I'm just using this period really as off the back of that Marine experience as a period of reflection and where we can improve our structure.
I'm not going to ask you what do you think is going to happen with this season and that kind of thing. I'm just going to talk to you about how the season has gone to this point, because, like you say, you come in May under difficult circumstances, given everything, the nature of football at this level. You start the season really, really well. We enter season suspension, currently sitting fourth in the league table. So it's all heading in the right direction, isn't it? So here's the next 3.5 years, I suppose.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, I'm not going to try and sugarcoat it. We want to get promotion. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. There's some fantastic clubs at this level and really experienced managers. But the plan within that 3.5 years is what we've identified. It's you know, with a plan at the end of it, of within that 3.5 years, trying to get ourselves out of the league. Now, you've only got to look at the sides are at this level, like so Workington, Ramsbottom, Corn, Dunstan, Marsk. It's a tough league, run Corn Linnets. It's a really, really tough league. I mean, the level of quality at this level has gone up significantly since I last played at it. I played probably at this level probably about 6-7 years ago, and the quality of player and manager at this level has gone up massively. So it is, it's tough. I'm not daft. I know it's going to take a lot of hard work. You've only got to look at the likes of Workington having that taken away from a little bit last season. It is, it's difficult, but as I said, the reason that myself and Carl sat down and identified that three and a half years as the right way to go is because it gives us a, you know, a realistic timescale of you know, to aim to try and get out of the level. So yeah, so like I said, we decent start, good start. I still think we could have been at least maybe 5 or 6 points better off. But you know, when I'm never ever going to lose a lot of sleep over losing to a team like Workington away from home on a Tuesday night. You know, certainly in the 92nd minute. Because, yeah, like I said, we're averaging 2 points a game. And I firmly believe that if it had carried on off the back of Widnes, we were starting to show some real form of how we want to play, front foot, full of energy, move the ball quickly. The lads were starting to really show signs of what they're capable of.
So what's the next steps for you then? I'm assuming at the minute it's just you've got your best case, worst case, average case scenarios all in place. But how quickly can you snap to it, do you feel, if we do get a green light at some point in March, say? Because we should say Clitheroe were one of the few lucky sides who were able to play on Boxing Day, weren't you? So it's still a long layoff, isn't it? So what is the best case scenario for you?
I think the best case scenario for me is that we get to play or finish the season in some sort of playing capacity. If not, I'm completely against null and void. I think another season of null and void wouldn't help anybody, to be honest with you, because you know, I don't think anybody could argue if the league turned around and said a team like Workington are going to get promoted, certainly when you look at the points per game for the past 18 months. But for me, obviously, we want to try and finish the season in some capacity. We certainly don't want null and void. We're ready to play football as soon as it's safe, really, safe to do so. But at the minute, that's not looking likely with the way the death rate is and the way that this new strain's come into things. But, you know, as I said, there's not a lot we can do. Same as any other manager will tell you at this minute in time. All you can do is obviously touch base with your players, see how they're feeling, see if there's anything that they need from you. You know, just keeping that relationship. But until we get an idea of whether we're going to look at finishing this season or we're looking towards next season, you can't really start making the, you know, any decisions that you want to make towards the squad or anything like that. So, but yeah, certainly, you know, I'm sure our director of football, Carl, will echo that, and everybody else at the club is we want to finish the season. We don't want null and void. We're completely against null and void. And our view on it is as soon as it's safe to do so, we want to get back playing.
Great stuff. And final question, David. Obviously, it's all about looking to the future. In an ideal world, we'd get back underway and we'd have this tussle, wouldn't we, with yourselves, Cohn, Marine, Workington, probably the top half of that North West division, let's be fair. How much are you looking forward to the challenges that are coming up when we do get back to some kind of normality?
Well, hopefully we do. And as I said, I'm keen for the league to stay as it is. In terms of it, if there is a bit of a restructure, obviously the teams that deserve to get promoted, like Workington that I've mentioned, but for me, we want to keep the league just as it is because it's, you know, there's been talk of maybe different teams moving into different leagues. I certainly don't want that. I think the league is now is exciting for everybody. You've just mentioned Marine there. Again, look at what they've done this season. They're in our league as well. This league for me, you know, at one time it was the difference between this and the Conference North was massive. It was vast, but I don't think it is now. I think there's a lot of players at this level across those top, say, 10 teams that, in my opinion, can play higher. There's a lot of young talent knocking about. There's a lot of great managers, you know. So it is. It's tough. It's a tough competition. You can't take your foot off the gas. And like I said, it just whets the appetite. Hopefully we do get... I just hope we can finish this season when it is safe to do so. I mean, other people have different views on it, but for me, from where we are and you know, the position of the table, we want to finish it and try and finish as high as we possibly can. The aim at the start of the season was to try and get into the playoffs and get round the mix of those teams that you just mentioned. So, yeah, for me, I think if we can't finish the season because obviously, the death rate has not got down to an acceptable level, we are completely against null and void. I think there has to be some sort of promotion relegation, in my opinion. How they do it, I don't know. But I just think another null and void season would the league would lose credibility a little bit. That's just my own personal opinion on it. So again, just with you mentioning some of those teams there, I just hope that we can get playing, you know, for the players' sake as well. There's a lot of young talent knocking around these divisions now that are getting, you know, void of any football whatsoever. And it's key for their development. It's everybody's livelihood, obviously, livelihood, isn't it? You're out on a Saturday normally at 10, 11 o'clock and you're returning at 6, 7 o'clock. And to be honest, I'm missing every aspect of it.
Yeah, I think we all are, aren't we?
We are, mate. Yeah.
Well, David, a big thank you for joining us. Big congratulations again on the contract extension.
Stop, man.
And here's hoping the next time we speak, it'll be about football.
We're back playing, hopefully, mate.
Clitheroe manager David Lynch there joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And that's nearly it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. But just before we go, let's go to the Premier Division now and to Atherton Coles. They've announced the launch of a brand new magazine, Are You the Clown? And for more on this, let's hear from one of the contributors of this magazine. It's media officer from Atherton Coles. It's Zach Pearce. Well, Zach, a big thank you for joining us. And this is great stuff, this a new in-house magazine for the club. Tell us more about the magazine.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks a lot for having us on. Much appreciated. Yeah, so Are You the Clown is the new official Coles magazine. I mean, the thing is with Atherton Colliery's is that we've come on the map, as it were, over the last 6-7 years, which is fantastic. And there are so many stories we can tell of those 6-7 years and enjoy telling. But the club's been around for over 100 years now. It's 100, I think we're at 105 years. And there's so many more stories and so many more adventures that we've been on in the past, you know, from our time in the sort of Lancashire Combination in the 1960s and 70s and our formations from 1916 onwards and being a sort of pivotal part of the town of Atherton. And so this magazine really is a celebration of 106 years of Atherton Collieries. So, yeah, it's a celebration of that. And it's all things Coles, sort of past, present and future, really. There's articles in there in the first edition that are quite closely related to the football club and its fan base. And there's articles about non-league football generally. So that's Are You the Clown. It's going to be sort of monthly, give or take. It's available for £3. So, yeah, it's a new venture and we'll see where it goes, really.
No, cracking stuff. I'll put the link up on the descriptions to the podcast as well for those people who want to find out more and purchase a copy. But I was going to say, I mean, it's there's no upsides at all to COVID and the current situation. place you're in, but it does give people a chance to look back at their own clubs. I know from my personal point of view, at the minute I'm doing an FC United Legends podcast where I'm interviewing old players. I mean, it's good to look back at this stage to give people stuff to do and keep in touch with the club.
Definitely, look back and learn more, really. Learn more, like... you know, we in the first edition, we've got an article with Richard Beardsmore, who played for Manchester United. He started off in the sort of cold as youth teams, went on to Man United, played at Bournemouth, you know, and coached there. And so I didn't know that. And, you know, I've been following the Coles now for 7 years, give or take. And I did not know that. So it is, it's an opportunity to look back. It's an opportunity to share stories and just sort of remember life when it was normal. And I think there's something nice, really, with it being a physical document that's posted to you too. Because it's, I think now more than ever, people, you know, want to cling on to life as it was, you know, going to a football match, buying a programme. And I know there's been a lot of debate in football recently, especially non-league football, over the point of match day programmes and whether, you know, they should exist or whether they should turn digital. And I think the reception of Are You the Clown and the concept of the magazine itself kind of proves that actually, you know, there is still a drive for printed media, especially when it comes to football culture and non-league football. Because I think there's something... It's a bit of the ordinary in quite an abnormal world, really, reading a physical copy of a programme magazine about football. So yeah.
No, exactly. I mean, one of the things, no disrespect to digital downloads and stuff like that, but you could just walk away from them, can't you, without properly reading it. But, you know, a magazine, it's a physical thing and, you know, something that you keep hold of. I've got loads of programmes from yesteryear and it's what you do, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, from a personal point of view, I've recently got a new phone, and so everything I downloaded on my old phone, really, I didn't keep, because I was like, I kept my photos and stuff like that, but any PDFs I downloaded, I didn't keep. And that's the thing, I think, with this, not to make too deep a point here, but this kind of digital society, but, you know, it's so easy to delete something, whereas when you've got something physical, you do store it away, and then a couple of years later, you pull it out, and you relive all those memories again. Like I say, we've got 105 years worth of memories packed into, you know, several magazines here. It's about sharing those stories, remembering those moments, not just now, but, you know, in years to come.
I suppose, you know, this month's edition, the next month's edition, it's a balancing act, isn't it, of covering the 105 years as best you can, because I'm imagining, you know, the challenges going back all that way. There's not too much documented evidence and stuff like that. But, I mean, how challenging is that side of things to go all the way back to the very start?
Well, you'd be surprised, actually. Emil Anderson, the club secretary, and Rob Clark, who is part of the media team at Coles, they're heading up the project. So full credit to them. They're the editors. But we've been quite good, to be fair, as a football club in making sure, you know, from the 1950s onwards, we've actually got quite a bit of material in terms of match reports and photos. You know, we've been quite good at keeping things ourselves as a football club. But then, thanks to the archives at Bolton and Wigan Council, the library, there is quite a lot of, not a lot, obviously, but there is a decent amount of stuff out there. It does become more challenging when you go from, you know, 1916 to 1950. You know, records are a bit loose. But, you know, there's a decent amount of stuff out there. But I mean, like I say, it's not just about physical photos and physical match reports. It's one thing that we enjoy is the kind of human and personable touch. There's loads of characters that go to Coles, and it's about them telling the story more than anything, rather than us, you know, scanning a team sheet and sticking that in.
I was going to say, I mean, it also those old archive stuff, I've spoke to a few people, not just in football, but in rugby league as well. And it often goes to show you just how valuable journalists were back in the day as well, and newspaper cuttings and things like that. Because, you know, it's talk about the digital age and stuff like that. That's something that we're increasingly losing, aren't we?
Definitely. And I think more recently, you know, you see regional newspaper and regional reporting sort of, you do see a sharp decline, really, in those as newspapers become, you know, almost like chain operated region by region, and there's cuts to local reporting. I mean, we're quite lucky in Bolton. The Bolton News are superb with the content they produce, and Ben Olawumi's writing the a lot of the non-league stuff at the moment. So full credit to them. But, you know, further afar, there's less and less stories about non-league football. And in years to come, there's not going to be that documentation, which is quite sad, really. So that's why it's important that magazines such as this, Football Programmes, people do buy them, people do save them, not in a kind of hoarding way, but because people will refer back to them, believe it or not.
Yes, and when it comes to the modern era, obviously it's been heady days for Africa Calls in recent years. I suppose it's across the piece, isn't it? It's just making sure that all angles are covered. So what can we expect in the upcoming editions?
Good question. What can we expect? Well, we're combining this. We've got a podcast as well out, Parallel Lines. So we're combining stories across the two. I mean, there's plenty to talk about. You know, we've got the Coles USA supporters branch who regularly, we like interviewing those, hearing more about how they came across Coles. We've got former players that are still very much involved at the football club telling stories of their time here. But, I mean, The thing is, as well, it's not just about Atherton Collieries. I mean, I keep using this term in my personal life a lot about football culture, you know, this idea of, you know, people in sort of loose-fitting jeans wearing Adidas Originals going to the football, not necessarily for the action on the pitch. But there is a lot of that in there, you know, where articles are quite loosely linked to either Atherton Collieries or the football club or non-league football generally. So I wrote an article in the last issue about the links between sort of theatre and live performance and live football. And I'm writing an article in the next issue about, you know, black and white stripes, teams that play in black and white stripes. So there's a good mix. And the thing is, there's loads to talk about Atherton Collieries and about Atherton, Bolton and Wigan as towns themselves. So we've got the lottery winners who we're looking to interview. They're a local band that have come onto the scene quite a lot recently. So the creative juices are flowing. There's plenty to talk about. And the beauty is, it's not just a lockdown project, this. It's something we're so keen, both the podcast and the magazine, continue when football does restart. Because, you know, when football's being played, there's more content naturally being produced there. So it's about continuing this, documenting it, and hopefully bringing a nice little twist to the already unique, as far as I'm concerned, Atherton Collieries offering.
Oh, brilliant. Well, Zach, it's been great having you on, talking about the latest edition of Are You the Clown magazine. Just one last plug, and like I said, the link to where you can purchase the magazine is available in the description of this podcast. So one last plug, Zach, what's in this latest edition, and how can people grab their hands on a copy?
The first edition of Are You the Clown, we've got an explanation about as to why it's called Are You the Clown, because again, a unique name in itself there. Where on earth is Lukasz Malkowski? We had a trialist from Poland a couple of years ago who was amazing. He had a superb preseason, but he disappeared. We've got articles with Dave Featherston, our club photographer, and sort of big old fan of Rod Stewart, so we learn a lot about him. Interview with Richard Beardsmore, and of course my article about the theatre and live non-league football. But there's loads of pictures, loads of sort of archive content, and it ends on a nice piece, really, a celebration of all the fantastic Atherton Collieries fans out there. They've sent in selfies in their Coles shirts, so you can check them out on the last page too.
Atherton Coles media officer Zach Pearce there, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all have a lovely and safe week, and you'll be hearing from us again soon. Bye-bye.